T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
It's baseball season, Dan McNeil.
Yeah, on a buggy for the desert. For you, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
For me, a week from Saturday. 4 fun-filled shows. At least that's what I'm predicting.
I think that's a solid.
I don't know how they won't. I don't know how they don't be fun.
Solid prediction. Things always seem to happen out there amongst radio brethren that loosen each other up.
Yeah, it's called alcohol. Which I will not be partaking.
I might not either.
This time around.
I might not either. I'm in the midst of a dry February. Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Will
greatly.
Be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. That's what I'm learning this month is that that I don't need it quite as much to relax and enjoy myself as I thought.
Counting carbs. Yeah, alcohol's got to go on the carb count,
and also just alcohol in general. I haven't sung. I haven't had booze, any alcohol of any kind on a gig since August. So I've been gigging without alcohol now for, 5 months? Something like that? It's quite an interesting experience.
Why? Performance?
That was voice? Part of it. Control. I'm actually better without
alcohol.
You mean
you were seeking more control?
and I thought maybe I would actually deal with some of the stress of the actual issues that were in my head instead of just medicating them. That seems to be a wise choice.
It is. Not always. Why? The one we make, though.
No, Tanny, I'm serious. It can be a good thing because then you actually have to deal with the issues instead of just drinking them away.
No, thank you.
Deeply uninterested.
Yes. Spring training is going to be a blast. One show at Sox camp at Camelback Ranch, 3 shows from Sloan Park in Mesa.
Yeah, man. Cannot wait. And there will be bonding. There will be bonding that take place. I remember that me and Danny, that was like the show that kind of broke us through what had been several months of discomfort at the beginning of our arranged marriage. It was a Miss Pac-Man contest where I just obliterated the living crap out of him at a video game at Miss Pac-Man. And it was the kind of humbling that he deserves every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Like, it just, yes, I do.
Yeah, I know
as
you do.
As a matter of fact, I do.
Yeah.
Give me something.
Yeah, so that was the beginning of some decent times for us. And I remember you and I having great times out in Arizona.
Always. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. One spring Van, my oldest son, was happened to be on spring break, and he wound up being an intern for a day or two. Yeah, well, now one day he wanted to sleep in the last day we were there. Do I have to come today? Can I sleep? Oh, yeah, 2 days? 2 days of schlepping paper and diet Pepsis have exhausted you, huh, son?
That was his deal. That was his deal. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to take you out there, you have to be our intern.
Yeah. Well, I was going to take him anyway. I just thought I'd give the lad something to do. That was, I thought I'd keep an eye on him. You know, still a little bit protective, even though he was 19 at the time. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting to know David Ross a little bit, hopefully. And I always enjoy our conversations with members of the Cubs brass, because unlike a lot of other brasses in town, they will talk to you, and
yeah,
they will talk to their fan base. Most importantly, they're smart enough, Epstein and Hoyer, to recognize, and Crane Kenny as well. We are merely a conduit to their fans. They get that, and they're going to be available, and I expect them to be as transparent as they always are. This team has some huge concerns.
I'm remembering back now, Mac, to us being there. The new complex in Mesa had just opened, because I remember it was the same spring that I got a tour,
yes,
of the facility and wrote about it.
That was 14, yes. That park, that campus just sparkled.
Mm-hmm.
When the doors are still stiff because it's just been constructed, that was cool.
Yeah, I remember the conversation while I was getting the tour and them saying, you know, and this is the workout area where we are going to force the rookies and the veterans to work out together and hopefully force them to talk more and engage more and teach each other more, which is, of course, the great tradition of baseball. And here we are 6 years later. And David Ross is trying to urge everybody to talk more and integrate more and discuss things and kind of refine that spirit that they definitely had as a unit at the time.
That's something that is, you know, you cannot quantify that sort of chemistry that happens on a baseball team. When you're going to live with guys for, what is it, almost 8 months out of the year, you're going to be living with these guys.
Yeah.
The ability to get along and do things together, work together instead of going your own ways, to me is a no-brainer. I'm all for it. Now, my experiences weren't at the professional level, so I can't relate to how much how tedious that must be for some of those guys. But I think I was told you off the air yesterday. I can't imagine what it would like to be stretching by yourself on game day. Why you wouldn't go out? I mean, when the coach blows the whistle, we wouldn't do it in baseball, but in football, blow the whistle, you circle up, you stretch as a team. That's what you do. That is the beginning of your rehearsal, your practice session.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that a team functions better when they are more socially active together, when they are more connected in those ways, whether it is time together, whether it is, you know, eating together or whatever? Do you believe that a team functions better?
I always have believed that, but there's a lot of evidence that suggests otherwise. There have been great teams that where there wasn't harmony. In one of our most famous teams in town here, the 85 Bears, there was a lot of dysfunction in that locker room. Mm. There was an offense versus defense mentality.
But that's okay in football, right?
Usually, think football's different?
I think football, I mean, that's a natural divide, and that can be used with good nature. Sometimes you'd use that against each other, or that can be used by a coach as a motivational tool. So I guess I'm feeling that football might be different in that way. It might be more naturally tribal.
It's many years removed now, but they won 3 consecutive World Series, the Oakland A's, and they were notoriously not guys who got along. They were known to be guys who didn't like each other. That was a group of guys that just, there was a lot of friction in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Not much pulling on the same end of the rope, but they won 3 straight friggin' World Series.
I wonder if they actively didn't like each other. And maybe that's the same thing as actively liking each other. Like, as long as you communicate, as long as you're present, right? As long as you're exchanging and you're, like, actually there with each other, you can have a little, like, yeah, that guy's a jackass, but he's good. You know, like, there can be a respect.
Like Crash Davis baiting Nuka Lush to punch him in the eye, and then he says, help me up, and let's talk about your curveball.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, those kind of things. Like, as long
Which
as you're...
Which hand did you hit me with? Never hit a drunk with your pitching hand.
It's so interesting. But on that time in 2014, you remember the money quote from our time there and the interview we did with Theo Epstein? You remember the money moment?
When he said there will be no cookie this year?
Correct. Because you had been describing Javier Baez's eventual arrival as a cookie.
Yeah.
And like, hey, come on, Theo, why not give your fans a cookie? And he started to shake his head at the question.
Right.
Cookies. Candy.
He wanted nothing to do with a hood ornament.
Wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. And he was shaking his head. And you were like, why are you shaking your head? And he said, I'm shaking my head at the idea that we should give our fans a cookie. We're trying to prepare the full meal. He took your metaphor and ran with it.
Yes.
Cookies.
He built a buffet.
Yes, he did. And they won. And then the food was still there for 3 more years. For 3 more years, the food was available. Tried to augment it. You know, why don't we add a little shrimp to the buffet this year in the form of Tyler Chatwood? Oh, that shrimp stinks.
You know,
let's add a steak with Yu Darvish. Oh, it's tough on this side. This side's pretty good. And now here we are as the buffet still exists, but it's got a lot of the same stuff on it. It's been picked over a little bit.
I know you teased David Ross in something that he's doing this year, and I want to get to that here, but just because this has been on my mind for a couple days now, and I want to say it because it just was talked about in an interview we had with the president of the Cubs, because there is here at the Score a considerable amount of teeth that get gnashed over the Bears general manager Ryan Pace not being accessible.
Yeah,
and when we talked to Hub about it Tuesday, he suggested to us that's pretty common around the NFL. You're not going to find a lot of guys.
Yeah.
There may be a few exceptions. Jerry Jones does a radio show in Dallas.
But what Hub said is that it's basically what they desire, that in football, the NFL execs get to dictate how much they're available.
They do. And I've talked with NFL people who confirm that a high percentage of teams keep their – I don't really care anymore about the NFL standard of conduct for GMs and head coaches. I'm more concerned – the Bears follow the lead that's been given to them by other teams in their own market. And that's a lead given by the Cubs, who have done it as well as anybody administratively, making the most important people of the organization available so fans have an idea what's in their heads. And I would say the Blackhawks are our second place, at least until recently. They've been very good. If I want to talk to John McDonough a couple of times a year, I send him an email, and he comes on the show.
White Sox are awfully good with Rick Hahn. Rick Hahn is very available and out there. Kenny Williams, not so much, but I think that is by design, because Kenny usually steps in it and gets the whole organization in trouble when he talks. Yeah. He has a tendency to do that.
Pace talks to Jeff Joniak for network coverage of pregame on WBBM, which is owned by the Bears. That is not an Entercom property. That's Bears property. And that's pretty much all you get him until the draft. And so much news happens between Ryan Pace interview opportunities that you don't wind up getting everything in. And as gutless as that was a few weeks ago, a couple months ago now, actually, a month and change ago, to have a news conference on the end of the year and 45 minutes later fire three or four assistant coaches via news release is one of the most gutless things I've seen the Bears do.
Yeah.
That's not how you act, man. That's not how you treat your fan base. It's not how you treat those coaches you fired. They deserved an explanation from you on the day you're telling them to clean out their offices.
And now they might have got the explanation.
Right.
But the fans sure didn't.
Right. I misspoke when I said that. I think the fans had a right to know.
I understand. I understand. And here we are. They're about to talk. And they've got the cover of 2 months of news for themselves.
Yeah.
And 2 months of sports news for everybody else. And for I remember the listeners and the fans being upset that that happened. That they were disrespected in that way. And sometimes it can be a fine line. Oh, it's the media crime. We don't care. It's just about you guys wanting to hear. No. Yeah. I remember the day that happened and the days that followed, fans were like, what the hell? I want to know. I wonder if anybody still has those feelings, because they've had 2 months for those feelings to go away.
I hear that all the time when, wherever we're getting on a topic like this, all you care about is no, it's not about what we do. Yes, do we benefit from it? Sure, but we're here to service our listeners. You're the fans. You're the listeners of the radio station who comprise Bear Nation. We'd like you to have an opportunity. We'd like to be more educated rather than speculate on what they might think of this
Let me ask you a question in regards to this, though, okay? How good at talking, at being that voice to explain himself, to share enough that it doesn't feel like BS, and to make a fan base feel better. How good is Ryan Pace at that?
I suspect he's a lot more challenged than some other guys in town. He doesn't have a lot of polish as a speaker.
Don't you think he knows that, too? I think he knows.
There's only one way to get better at it, and that's flight miles. Mm-hmm. You've got to do it. You have to do it. You have to stand at the lectern, learn from your mistakes, and get better at it. That used to be part of the job.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, and that's the thing, because I remember one time seeing Theo at spring training and saying, oh, yeah, you were on with the other guys, and that was good yesterday. That was good yesterday on the radio, because he was on with one other show, whatever it was, and he said, it's always easy to talk. He said that off the air. That's a dude who is very, very, very comfortable. Now, granted, he came from 10 years of doing it in Boston, but he's also just real good with words. And we always see it. Remember at the Cub convention, you and I working together, we talked to Theo. I remember texts after that, listeners saying, man, I always feel better about this team once I hear Theo talk about it. Like, he's real good at calming people. He knows it, so he's happy to do it. He's willing to do it. He sucks at it.
Yeah, he's not real good as
an orator.
So he's
not willing.
Well, again,
I hear you, man. I'm all in.
You got people who are employed in the PR office to help him get better at those things, and it's unfortunate. Anyway, I just wanted to get that off. It's been bugging me since I
understand.
I thought about it after Hub told us that the other day, and I'm thinking, okay, Fair enough if that's an NFL thing, but we don't have to accept it because it's an NFL thing. Let's set some own standards in one of the nation's biggest media markets, Chicago.
Now I'm curious as to how strict it is for other teams and other bosses. Because as you say, Jerry Jones has a show. You know, people talk when they want. It's up to them. Is everybody as stingy with their voice as Ryan Pace is?
Or Matt Nagy. Now, we know Nagy did the Kansas City station before the Chiefs game this year, right? We heard some of because one of his old pals, and I don't know if that guy had to set that up through the Bears, but or if he knew Matt well enough to send him a text himself. I suspect the Bears were involved in that, which is fine. At least they got him on, but he doesn't make appearances on the sports station. They kind of hide him on WBBM, our sister station, on Monday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than give the Bears' biggest fan base, they're here.
Football has this air of secrecy about it. They've got this veil that they like and they feel entitled to keep. Hell, you know, they don't like to list whether guys are hurt or not. They don't like to tell anybody. They don't want you to film the practices or take pictures in the practice. It's this warlike mentality, right?
Yeah.
Where the secrets are king. Yeah. So now I understand. And now here we are 2 months removed, and who knows how much of that will even be covered when they talk on Tuesday.
I would applaud somebody if somebody went on the muscle and said, hey, hold on a second. Combine can wait a second. We got unfinished business here from the first week of January, Ryan.
Yeah.
Whose decision was it to send a news release out and fire guys after the news conference? I bet it came from Ted. Your thoughts.
It's pretty interesting, and it's a missed opportunity. Because if you're good at it, or if you get good at it, then things can be easier for you as you deal with fans and deal with media. 670 The Score is where you are. It's McNeil and Parkins show. There is no Parkins. It's very sad.
Yeah, he'll be back next week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's
David
not that
Ross.
Sad. Opening bell is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, currently featuring $99 brakes. See store for details. So Ross is doing live BP, right? And just about all teams do live batting practice, a chance for the pitchers to throw to the hitters. Hey, you feel like hitting. You guys feel like throwing. Let's put you together. There's a great idea. Everybody does it. But Ross is adding a wrinkle. There are umpires. There are umpires for live BP in Cubs camp. Shep pointed
catchers
this out.
Catchers and umpires?
Yeah, well,
catchers and umpires.
Catchers are usually part of it. So, you know, you're set up for live BP, and you got a pitcher throwing a catcher, but now there's umpires as part of it, so I guess they can think about the strike zone, they can feel more realistic. I asked somebody about it, who's there, who said that the idea is to ramp up the realness, ramp up the intensity for the players involved, for both pitchers and hitters. One guy really doesn't like it. John Lester doesn't like it. I should have done it as a quiz.
Stick in the mud.
I should have done it as a quiz. Can you guess which pitcher doesn't like it?
I would have been buzzing in before you finished the clue. Who is John Lester?
It is indeed John Lester. He told the umpire to shut up. He said, can you please be quiet? If you're going to call balls and strikes.
So now quiet it down.
Now I'm picturing the ump just like, you know, doing mime. The ump is essentially in whiteface.
All right, sell it, Speaks. We got a video stream. Yeah, I know you're worried about it.
He's in whiteface. He's like, oh, I'm in a box. The ump is in a box.
Pulling a rope.
Yes, he's pulling the rope. He's climbing up the wall.
Let's spend a few minutes boiling this here. Is there good that comes out of it potentially, or is it silly? My first reaction was, boy, there's a first-year manager. But, you know, then you're done with that, and you start thinking, okay, what are some of the positives of it? I can understand some of his logic.
Hey,
here.
feel like you're in season already.
It's batting practice.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah, you know, go ahead. There's going to be an ump there. Yeah, get used to it. Yeah, he's going to call balls and strikes. What you got? Right away. And you know what? The season starts a lot sooner. March 26th is crazy soon, by the way.
It does. Yeah, and I know. It does change the rhythm of typical batting practices, though. It makes it much more, it's slower to get everything done, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Texture says, I love Lester. He's going to get thrown out of live BP.
You know what? They've been there for a week and change, and he's already ready to come back to Chicago.
A little bit down the column there, Spiegs.
No, I did not.
In that they ask Ross about it afterwards, and he says of Lester, he gave the umpire a fist bump at the end. I was pretty excited about that. It's the best interaction he's had.
That's awesome.
He's sick of talking about the Astros, doesn't want to hear about it, doesn't want to talk about it, hates umpires as part of batting practice.
He's delightfully crusty.
After he sings, there's a military salute and the fist pump.
He's a delightfully crusty human.
I've enjoyed him, but I don't have high expectations of the 36-year-old left-hander this year.
He's crafty now. That's what I mean. He was always crafty, but the stuff isn't there. He's no longer a stuff pitcher. He's no longer a stuff guy. He's more of a finesse guy. I will say this:
he got his ears pinned back last year a handful of times, like he never had in his life.
Yeah,
probably
some of the ugliest stuff that we've ever seen in terms of the box score.
Can you get us 9 outs, Big John? Just 9. Get us to the fourth inning, fella.
Yeah, 15. 15 would be nice, right? 15 they would accept without a doubt. The thing about Lester is, the other thing, like, so apparently nobody else has had a real problem with this. Lester is, he's easily...
agitated.
Yes! He's bothered by things on the mound. Needs things to be perfect on the mound. Like, when there's a runner on base, it's an annoyance to the man. And I understand.
Throw strikes, big guy.
Yes, but he kind of likes the annoyance. That's the other thing, right? I love the psychological profile of Lester. He likes to get himself into trouble and then get himself out of trouble. He needs the trouble. So I can see him just being pissy at the actual regular umps there for Live BP, just because it's nice. It's something to push against for John Lester.
What is the right level of expectation for him this season? How many starts are you going to milk out of John Lester, who turned 36 last week?
I want 30 starts out.
Last month.
I want 200 innings. I'm sure he does too, right?
You think you're going to get 200 innings out of this guy?
No, I'm sure that's his goal. I'm sure it, in his mind, in his heart of
hearts.
It might
be Ronnie Woo Woo's goal too.
Call up the stats. Call up the stats, because 30 starts is the standard for Lester.
He hasn't cleared 200 innings since the 16 season. Last year, he logged 171. 1 2/3 innings.
Yeah, but he always shoots for, he says it. He'll say he's shooting for 200 innings. He says he shoots for 7 innings every time he starts.
31 starts last year.
Look how many years in a row.
32 the year before.
Keep going.
32 the year before that.
Keep going.
32 the year before that. Sense a theme here?
Yeah, I believe
it's... How about this? 32 in 2015. So he reeled off 4 consecutive years with 32 games started.
Uh-huh.
And last year dropped only 1 game, down to 31.
I believe it was...
He's going all the way to 08.
Yeah.
Going 30 or more.
Yeah, it's him and CeCe. And CeCe's gone now. But in terms of 30 starts every year, I mean, I believe Lester is the only guy...
You're right.
...to have 30 starts every season since 2008 to 2019. I think he's the only guy to have 30 starts every one of those years.
That's remarkable endurance.
Yes, it is.
But here's the rub.
That is a horse.
His whip last year was 1.497.
Oh! And the ERA.
Easily his career worst since limited duty in his rookie year with the Red Sox, when he appeared in only 15 games.
Yep.
Started all 15 of those games, went 7-2 with a 4.76. That was worse. That was a 1.648.
Yeah, he had one garbage year in the middle of his Red Sox prime where the ERA was in the mid to high fours, right? He had one garbage year in there, but otherwise that's got to be his worst ERA in an awful long time.
Yeah, 4.57 and a 4.82 also with the Red Sox. But yeah, his whip numbers never have been off the chart outstanding, but they've been okay. Last year, not so much. The year before was bad, too. 1.310, 1.323 in 17.
He ought to be
your fourth regression.
Well, it's everybody has seen it coming, and it has slowly arrived. He ought to be your fourth best pitcher. Jose Quintana has got to step up and be the best version of himself, or else this team does not really have a chance.
Yeah, and we want to be queuing and not booing this year for number
Quintana.
62.
Quintana. You're welcome.
It's
Quintana.
Let's look inside the division at the White Sox' biggest foe. We'll do it next on 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
70 the score.
That time to really be aggressive and assertive, I think for the White Sox has arrived. And if there is a common dynamic and goal, I think they have a chance to rise, especially in a division that may be one of the most starved divisions in professional sports.
Super Agent Scott Boras, the extortionist, as he was called years ago. I will never not think of that article, that title. I love that. He's very good at extorting. Top of the line. 670, the score is where you are. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Mac, let's look around the White Sox division, shall we?
Absolutely.
And there's really only one team that you are assuredly looking up at least at the beginning of the year, and that is the Minnesota Twins. Lavelle Neal, our old friend, joins us right now to talk about the Twins. He has covered for a while. Chicago's own Lavelle Neal.
Yes, a Chicagoan and my dinner companion last year in May when I was in Hennepin County with Paul Charchi. And good to have you on, Lavelle. How's everything, man?
It's outstanding. There's no steak places like Manny's down here, though, where you can pose by the bull scrotum before and after you have a grand meal, but it'll make do because it's 82 degrees right now and sunny.
Oh, yeah.
I have missed something.
Yeah, there's the foyer of the restaurant has a bull with a gigantic scrotum, and it is...
Is there any other kind?
It's custom...
I would assume.
It's customary to take a photo in front of the bull. Wow. I did that with my friends, Charge and Lavelle, that night, and I didn't know the scrotum was resting comfortably on my head until I got home. Wow. And I said, wow, maybe I shouldn't have put that on Facebook and Twitter. Balls resting on the head.
Maybe so.
So, you know, I was getting around to thinking there is absolutely no way, Lavelle, these Twins put on the power show again this year the way they did. And then they go out and make some huge news and some big, big acquisitions in the offseason. This is a team that has to be regarded clearly as the favorite in the division. Do they regard themselves as a clear-cut favorite?
Well, Rocco Baldelli, in his opening speech on the first day of full squad workouts, said, do not be afraid of thinking about winning the World Series this year. So that would entail them, well, I guess you can win it as a wild card, but that would entail them probably repeating as AL Central Division champions. And that's what this team's focused on. They didn't necessarily meet their number one objective during the offseason, which was to find impact starting pitching. They went after Zach Wheeler, who decided to sign with the Phillies and stay out in the East Coast. I guess his fiance, his family's out there, and that weighed heavily because, if I'm not mistaken, the White Sox actually offered the most money for Wheeler, but Wheeler decided to stay out East. And so they pivoted and brought in former MVP Josh Donaldson, who's coming off a fine season with the Braves. And then, you know, right before camp opened, they were kind of part of that L.A. Mookie Betts deal with the Red Sox and got Kenta Maeda, who's a quality guy. He's a mid-rotation, you know, stabilizer to kind of lengthen that rotation out a little bit. So they feel good about where the rotation's at. They probably lack a true ace, but you never know when a number two guy can pitch like an ace for like a year, like a Rick Porcello can jump up and win the Cy Young one year. You know, that does happen once in a while. But they're going to go with what they got. They're going to try to hit home runs, more home runs, and they hope that the pitching staff's a little bit stronger.
You know, I like Kenta Maeda an awful lot. One of the things I like about him, though, doesn't really mean much for the regular season, and that's when the playoffs come, you can do anything with him. He can be a multi-inning reliever. He's been good at that. He can continue to be a starter for you. He can be a short reliever, so he's going to give them flexibility as they get closer. In terms of an ace, Jose Berríos has as good a stuff as there is in the American League. Why was Jake Odorizzi so much better last year, and can he do that again?
Well, Jake, his first year with the Twins was really shaky, and he went into that offseason after the 2018 season and realized that he'd gotten some bad habits mechanically during his last year with the Rays because he tried to be a warrior and pitch despite a sore back. And so he went to see Randy Sullivan at the pitching ranch in Central Florida to kind of work over his mechanics. And he came back, you know, a little more calibrated, and his fastball, he's very interesting to watch because he could touch 95, but he's usually 93, 94. But he throws a fastball up in the zone, and the hitters react to it like it's 98. You know, it pops out of his hand, and it's on the hitter. And when he's working with that split, that changeup he's got in the curveball, he messes with the eye levels of hitters, and he's able to, you know, shut down the order, you know, 2.5 times through. And now this year, he's claiming that he's found another mile an hour or two after refining his mechanics even more. So we're going to see what this looks like. But, you know, Jake was named to the All-Star team last year, and I think he could have made a chunk of change on the free agent market, but he saw what happened with a lot of guys last year. So he accepted the Twins' $17.8 million qualifying offer. And I think if he would have waited, he had a chance of getting a $20 million multi-year offer, you know, for multiple years from some team. But the Twins gladly were glad to have him back, and him and Berríos are going to form a decent 1-2 punch there at the top of the rotation.
Odorizzi last year, 159 innings. His earned run average, mid-threes. His whip, 1.21. I think he won 15 ball games. What do you think the ceiling is for him? Is he close, or do you think he's got a long way to go?
I think the Twins would be very happy if he duplicates 15 wins and thrilled if he could jump up to make it 17 wins, or at least add on to the quality starts, keep the whip down and the FIP down and pitch deeper in the games. The one thing I'll say about Jake is sometimes he's the epitome of a 2 times through the order guy, and they've got to watch him after the fifth or sixth inning. If he can prove that he can go a little bit longer than that, that will do wonders for the rotation and the bullpen. And let's not forget the fact, gentlemen, that we're in this goofy era of baseball where I think the average major league start last year was 5 1/3, 5 2/3 innings. That's 16, 17 outs a game that now the average starter is getting. So if you get a starter who can get up into the 20s, and if Jake feels that good about his stuff that he can push it that far, that would be a legitimate development for this team, and he can win more than 15 games.
Well, you know, then you got to go to that bullpen as the starters are short. And most of the guys in the Minnesota Twins bullpen were names that few people knew, and yet pretty damn good year. 6th in the American League in bullpen ERA, 10th in all of baseball in bullpen ERA. Sergio Romo is a dude. You guys got Sergio Romo. That is a gamer. That is a feisty, fiery, you know, SOB who I think probably is going to bring a presence and an attitude that's going to be very welcome in that bullpen. What do you think, LeBeau?
He is a character, man, and he doesn't stop talking. You walk into the clubhouse before these workouts, and he's telling some story, and he's gesturing, and he's posing, and he's just talking to anybody he can find. And I gotta imagine if the Twins are doing good, that it's going to be, you know, a great comic relief in the clubhouse. If they're doing bad, they're going to wring his neck because he just doesn't stop talking. But he gets on the mound, and he's got like a fastball that barely touches like 88, 89. But he's got this slider. I call it a box-to-box slider because it goes from one batter's box to the other. Mm-hmm. And it just flummoxes hitters. And he doesn't care who's at the plate. He'll throw it over there, and he'll fight with what he's got. And you've got to admire people like that who are willing to go to battle without the top shelf stuff the scouts drool over and still are able to get people out. And that's one of the reasons the Twins brought him back, because of the mental toughness he's bringing. He's pitched in big games. He's closed out World Series games. And that's the type of experience they were looking for when they traded for him last year at the deadline.
Lavelle, the most outspoken player in spring training with Chicago written across his chest regarding the Astros cheating scandal has been Chris Bryant of the Cubs. Which Twins have been forward with what their feelings truly are on the Astros?
The Twins have been kind of quiet on that, mainly because Marwin Gonzalez is on the roster. And Marwin was on that 2017 team, man. And 2018. So, and he had to call a press conference to apologize for, you know, doing bad things and hurting the game. And if people were upset with him, he apologized. And I think.
Was it genuine?
Yeah, I believe it was genuine. I believe he felt bad about what he did. But the stats say that there's a couple of reports out there that suggest that he was on the benefit the most from the trash can banging.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I asked him, I said, well, how do you feel about people who are going to feel differently about what you did in 2017? Because that was one of his best seasons ever. And he said, I can't worry about that, but it's out there and people are going to make up their own minds. And I'm just going to have to move forward and try to do the right thing in the future. And I said, okay, well, we'll see. And I think because Marwin's on that team, you're not hearing chatter from the Twins clubhouse about the cheating cheaters that the Astros were during that stage. You've heard it from a lot of other people, and it's still happening in baseball, and I don't know what's going to stop. You got LeBron James now ripping the Astros. You know, or at least ripping
Manfred
for how he's handling the thing. So it's not going to end. This is a rather fascinating time in baseball because I told you, I fully believe there were more teams than the Astros cheating, because it just can't be one. And for those who are throwing stones at the Astros, better watch out there if they're not standing in the glass house.
Well, see, that's the thing, Lavelle. That's the volume of people throwing stones is so much that it makes you pause and say, well, maybe there weren't that many teams doing it to this level. But it's understandable that the Twins are rallying around Marwin and not being some of the stone throwers.
Absolutely. And we're still waiting to hear what's going to happen to the Red Sox. There's rumors that it's going to come out this weekend. That we're going to find out what happened with the Red Sox, and we'll see how full it goes, and we'll see if the league announces that they're going to investigate some other teams, because it sounds like some people are upset that a certain team that wears pinstripes isn't being investigated for some things. So we'll see how far this goes into the season.
And Lavelle, Javier Baez is so beloved because of the way he plays and how much fun he has. His countryman, Eddie Rosario, I know some Twins fans who tell me that they love Rosario the way that Cubs fans love Baez. Is that pretty much true in the Minnesota market, that people love Rosario? He's awful fun.
Eddie has a cult following here, especially when he was really playing well in the outfield a couple years ago, throwing people off from left field and making great catches. He's had some defensive lapses the last couple of years, and some people have been quietly grumbling about him. Let me tell you this. This guy's hit over – I think he got to 30 home runs, over maybe 32 last year. He may be their worst position player, and he reached 30 home runs last year. That's where this lineup is at. I can't wait to see what Rocco Baldelli does for a batting order here, because he's going to have 30 home runs – you know, from the top all the way down to the bottom of this batting order. And if they don't have to hit 307 home runs like they did a year ago, but if they hit like, you know, 290 or 300, it's going to be just as lethal. And Josh Donaldson is in this group. You know, if you're a left-handed pitcher and you got to face the Twins, and you're sitting there looking, okay, Josh Donaldson, Nelson Cruz, Mitch Garver hit 34 homers, I believe, and Miguel Sano hit 30. Those are four of the right-handed hitters. The fifth one's Byron Buxton, who's one of the fastest players in baseball. It's going to be hell for pitchers to try to deal with on a daily basis.
Just like it will for pitchers to deal with the White Sox.
Well, the White Sox definitely have improved, and it's going to be fun to watch those two teams go at it, because I've been covering the Twins. This is my 23rd season covering the Twins.
Woo.
And the fun parts were in the 2000s when the Twins and the White Sox were butting heads, and guys from the White Sox are like, you look at that lineup, you're trying to figure out how the hell they win because they don't score any runs. And A.J. Przyzinski's barking at them, and Torrey Hunter's running over catchers. And and Ozzie Guillen's calling them the little piranhas, and I wish my team played like that. And it was fun times. When the White Sox and Twins are both good, the AL Central is pretty fun to follow.
Yeah, how about we get some of those series down the stretch, have Joe Nathan, Paul Konerko showing up, just all hanging out.
Raise you and Eddie Guardado.
Yeah, easy Eddie, absolutely. Lavelle, a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Lavelle.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
You got us, Lavelle Neal. Those twins are...
They reeled off five straight division titles, wasn't it? Or was it three?
Yeah, those Tom Kelly twins.
Seemed like 10.
No, Gardy.
Oh, the Gardner twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they didn't miss much of a beat between Kelly and Gardy.
No, not at all.
Just kept going. It was the twins' way. Remember?
Yes,
it's
I do.
It's the twins' way, yeah. Long before the Cubs' way. It's 670 The Score. He's McNeil. I am not Parkins. He's on paternity leave. I'm Spiegel. Lots more to come of us, whether you like it or not, on The Score.
Back on The Score, I'm Danny Mac. Matt Spiegel with me today until 6 o'clock tomorrow. And Nick Szepkowski will ride with me between 2 and 6. Among our guests tomorrow, Blackhawks legend Bobby Hull.
Dano, I believe the key to Stan Bowman making moves at the deadline comes down to the four H's.
I have forgotten
the
what the
four H's: Havlat, Hossa, Habibulin, and Huey.
And the beauty of that was Habibulin starts with a K.
He knew it. He knew it too. There it was a little while there where a lot of people thought, "Boy, Bobby, I think has lost it. He doesn't realize." No, no, he was making the joke.
Man, I did not know that was archived. That's delightful that we have tremendous. That available. Yeah,
I believe.
I believe
that it's going to depend, Dano.
If you can't love the one you're with, love the one you've been with. Is that how I can bastardize that cliche?
Sure.
Because these Blackhawks guy, you know, it's very difficult to be happy about what's going on with these Hawks. Last night's loss to the Rangers. I did not need that as confirmation. The season is over. I know a lot of blogs ran this morning and a lot of opinions were forecast. That's it, officially over. If you saw much of their trip through Canada last week, you wouldn't have needed to see the Rangers kick their ass 6-3.
Yeah. I think it's just the math part of it, right? Because now they're 8 points out of the second wild card with four teams they have to pass.
I watched four of the five games they played in Manitoba, Alberta, British Columbia. The one I missed was the game they won. I missed the Calgary game. Those four losses were dreadful, and they have mastered the art at hitting the goaltender right in the middle of his pads when he has them closed. They are very good at that.
Oh, God.
That power play. They get chances. They just put them right in the chest or the pads of opposing goalies. It is not good.
Defensively, was it Boquist was just dominated last night. Just guys skating around him like he was standing in concrete.
Yeah.
He needs some training. Do they have anybody who can train? Because he's 19,
you
know, right?
We knew going into
he's
the year
puppy.
There were going to be some growing pains at that position, and it certainly has been proven true. I hate to arrive at this point, but I'm there. When one of my favorite players of all time, in fact, I have from time to time referred to Duncan Keith as my favorite Blackhawk of all time, probably the flavor of the last decade when they won three cups. But I do admire him very, very much, always have. I hope he decides to hang up the Bowers after this season. I don't want to watch anymore.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't move real well. This guy used to be one of the most artful skaters on the ice in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He would turn defense into offense like that from behind his own goal.
Had a beautiful pass last night to set up a goal. He and Kane with the assists.
Yeah. I hated seeing Denny Savard as a third line centerman at the end of his career. I don't want to watch this anymore. I just don't. Your dad probably told you about how Willie Mays looked his last years in the big leagues, because I know he was one of your dad's favorites. It's not pretty when the greats of all time, and I will contend Keith is that at his position. He is right there with Chris Chelios as the greatest Blackhawks defenseman in franchise history.
There's three more years at a $5.5 million cap hit for Duncan Keith on this contract. Why not consider trade offers for him? What is the movement situation? Does he have the full no movement?
I would think so. Like I Seabrook think all does? Of their core players.
I want to know. He does. He has the no movement clause.
Yeah.
So if you can convince him, if you can talk with him and find a way between now and Monday, I mean, you're going to look to trade at one of the goalies. To both of the goalies, they're both unrestricted free agents.
Right,
that
right.
screws the pooch.
And they've both played pretty well this year.
Yeah,
too.
They have.
Like to have depth, especially when one of them is concussed.
But you got to try and get some stuff here. You got to try. You trade Brandon Saad. You trade a goalie.
He's been a mixed bag again this year too. Saad.
Mm-hmm.
While Patrick Kane is playing the best hockey of his life, they will spend their third consecutive postseason watching on television.
Yeah,
that just sucks.
Mac,
that's right. It sucks.
Mac is here hoping that Duncan Keith retires, and people are out there talking about possibly trading Taves or Kane.
That's how bad it's gotten. Yeah, that's where it goes. When I think all things are on the table here, I don't want to see them trade Patrick Kane. But if they feel they're going to make themselves a lot better a couple years, or they're going to get a king's ransom for it, and they pull the trigger, I'm not gonna cry about it, because I'm one of the guys who consistently suggests to you that we got to stop having mascots in this town. We got to stop hanging on to guys. Now, he's still playing at an incredibly high level, but at some point, if you're not getting better as a team and his departure can enhance that and turn that around, pull the trigger.
Except,
it wouldn't be the first guy, by the way, the Hawks have traded who's been a great franchise player. They parted company with almost every great player who's ever worn the Indian head on his chest.
Almost all of them get sent somewhere. Yet so maybe you try and find a way. It's 670 The Score. It's McNeil. I'm Spiegs in for Parkins. More of the news of the day, including the multi-million-dollar operation helmed by Uncle Mick. We need to talk about that thing, among other bits for you on The Score coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.